You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, we do a Boomer birthday edition of the podcast. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. I popped on a... We always talk about the length of Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes.
So he's got one out now, which I'm very interested in because it's about... I'm very interested in like really old stuff like the pyramids and all this stuff. So he has two guys on, two different archaeologists that are essentially debating each other. And I saw it. I was like, oh, this is going to be good. It's 4.5 hours long.
God.
And when I looked at it, I was like,
wow.
But then I think, like, as podcast producers ourselves here at WFAN, every show is pumping out a 4-hour podcast every day.
Yes and no. There's no commercials on his 4.5-hour podcast that really eats into that 4.5 hours.
Yeah, there are. There actually are a lot.
Not 18 minutes an
not
hour.
Not 18 minutes an hour, correct.
I mean,
but I'm saying we put out a 3-hour, each individual
yes.
FAN show puts out a 3-hour podcast. Here's essentially the, every the, day.
Yes.
That's
difference,
insane.
The difference would be, you're right, it is 3 hours. We do 18 minutes an hour. So that's 36, that's 72. So you're right. So it's 2 hours and 50 minutes worth of podcast. Absolutely. Different elements to it, though. Different voices for the most part. When he does these podcasts, it's him and the guest, in this case, two guests.
Yeah.
Just talking for 4.5
yeah,
hours.
4.5 hours.
That's
they do
long.
Stop occasionally to pee.
That's a long ass time.
Yeah, and this one, because it has to do with archaeology and the two guys battling as to how old certain things are.
So they have different
are.
Views?
They have different views, yeah. The one guy has a view that there was a long lost civilization after the Ice Age, and mm-hmm. this other guy's view is there's no proof of that.
So how do you stand on that then?
Well, the one guy's claim is that we haven't excavated enough
okay.
of these areas, where the one guy's saying, oh, we've already looked in the Sahara Desert. And he's like, yeah, but the Sahara Desert is, I don't know, something insane, like 900 million mm-hmm. square miles. And they've looked at like a very tiny portion.
Right,
so he's saying,
right.
what is... We're there to say that this is not.
Well, it's true. Remember, I said yesterday, I told you about the painting they found from
yeah.
thousands of years ago that was deep below the surface that was preserved because of the way it was
right.
covered. So that's true, yeah.
Yeah, and then that there's structures under the water and buried in parts mm-hmm. of the world that the one guy believes an ancient civilization had to make these are man-made, and the other guy's arguing that even though it looks perfectly made, nature sometimes makes these things mm-hmm. with rocks in this. So it's quite a battle, but it's 4.5 hours long.
Oof.
And the other bad thing is that each guy kind of brought a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh.
So there's a lot of like
visual
proof I would like to see, but I'm in my car.
Yep, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
That's where when you're doing something, it's not just, how many times do I tell you, these aren't podcasts. These are very well-produced shows
yeah.
that happen to air on YouTube that they put on Spotify.
Right.
All of them. The,
yeah.
the, you know, even the Shannon Sharp, Chad Ochocinco thing, the production value for that compared to, say, Around the Horn or one of those shows on ESPN is just as good. But it's a YouTube. I'm sorry. It's a podcast. It's a YouTube show.
Yeah. It's funny because for the most part, Joe Rogan's podcast is not very...
But
produced
it looks, but it's,
sounding.
But it's clear, though.
Like, it's clear,
it's
right.
great video.
Yeah, it's a nice studio.
It is. It looks good.
Yeah.
You know?
So I did listen to an hour you know, I listen on 1.5 speed, so right. I was able to listen probably at least an hour and 30 minutes so far mm-hmm. on my ride in. So I'll be doing, I'll be busy with that the rest of the week, Jerry.
I hear, well, if you put it on 1.5 speed, you'll be done in no time.
Yeah. I also checked in on this documentary. See if you'd be interested in this, Jerry. Documentary series on Netflix. It's called Unlocked. It's this, it's a documentary series about a jail in Arkansas where the person running the jail, the sheriff, I guess, is in charge of jails. He's got a game plan where instead of keeping the prisoners locked up 23 hours a day, which is what they were, locked up 23 hours a day, 1 hour out, mm-hmm. he was going to let them be out always. Within the confines of the jail, but you don't have to be in your jail cell.
Okay.
And to see if the prisoners can create kind of their own community and police themselves.
Mm.
But what's interesting in it is it seems so strange to work at a jail because you are essentially in jail for 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? Like you are in that environment, like to be a cop who works in the jail.
Right.
It feels like you're in this community.
Feel like you're a prisoner?
In some ways, yeah. And it's really weird how a group of people anywhere, but when you're in jail and you can't go anywhere, how they kind of create their own, like, hierarchy. Like, these are the veterans who have been in there a long time. These are the young guys. The young guys aren't going to listen to the old guys. The old guy. And
is it any different than society?
No, that's what I mean, though. But it does kind of seem like its own little society.
Yeah, it's a society of prisoners.
But with people who've done some really bad things.
That could do really bad things to you.
Yeah. And the other weird thing is there are a couple of very pretty girls working in the jail.
Really?
Weird.
Yeah, that is odd.
Like two pretty attractive guards.
Yeah.
That's a crazy job.
There's a... get back to that in a second, but to that point, have you noticed the police officer, the female police officer by the Holland Tunnel?
I have.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's great. You want anybody that wants to be a cop, female, male, that is amazing to me. I mean, for someone that wants to do it, to do that, and I think they should make a lot more money than they do because they're putting their life on the line every day. But I see a woman like that. She looks like she's in her early 30s. She's gorgeous. And I'm thinking, you chose to be a cop. I mean, you think about the way, whether it's a guy with six-pack abs or a beautiful female, you look at the way they use their body to exploit themselves for cash. We've seen this OnlyFans stuff. Paige Spiranak has made a fortune online just being who she is. You see guys that are ripped to shreds doing the same thing. To see someone like that that wants to be a cop, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah,
phenomenal.
It's wild. Like, if you are a beautiful person, whether you're a male or a female, the world is your oyster.
It certainly can be.
So to choose a dangerous profession.
Yeah.
Like a cop.
Or, in New York City.
Yeah, cop in New York City, or you're working at this jail. Because there are times with the women in this jail where they're the ones in charge of having the prisoners come out and eat their meals and then getting them back in. All it takes is one.
Yeah.
It just seemed
chaos
nuts.
Can ensue.
Yeah, and it just seemed nuts.
I have a couple of friends of mine, well, acquaintances, friends, whatever, that are prison guards, and it's tough work. I mean, you know, they try to not think about what the prisoners do so that they can have a cordial relationship with them. They're not becoming friends with them by any stretch, but if you're dealing with these guys every night, you try to put that aside so you can just handle them properly. And that there's at least, you feel like a, I don't know, respect's the right word, but that there's some sort of, you know, give and take back and forth between the two so that there's no nonsense. And both have done it for a long time and they've never had an incident. So
yeah, I think that's what this is trying to do. So the sheriff is trying to say, listen, nobody wants to be locked up in here. You certainly don't want to be in your cell 23 hours out of the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an opportunity for you guys to figure this out. And if you can't figure it out, everyone's back in their jail cells for 23 out of 24 hours a day. But it's also weird just to see, like, you have roommates in jail. Like, you have a jail cell person.
And a toilet.
And a toilet out in the open. Mm-hmm. And everyone's, not only is everyone tatted up, they're doing their own tattoos in the jail.
Are they really?
With these crude needles and it is wild. The other thing it made me think of is, listen, I'm all for throwing people in jail, bad guys, but really they're not getting rehabbed. They're just sitting in this jail cell, fighting with each other, giving each other tattoos, having their meal, and going back in their jail.
And waiting until their sentence is up.
Right. So you get a guy like that who's gone away for 10, 20 years. They come out. What do we expect them to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of strange.
Yeah. That's your punishment for something you did wrong that you hope you learned for it so you don't go back to prison. And yet, I think, I'm not going to say a lot, but in certain cases, they end up right back in prison.
Yeah. And I've seen guys interviewed that were in prison, got out, went back to prison. They almost get used to living in the prison.
Oh, of course.
And they want to be back there because that's what they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird how our bodies and our minds can adapt to those sorts of things.
Think about a prison sentence. I'm not saying, I don't mean life. I'm not even going to say 30 years. Let's say someone goes to prison for 8 years, which, depending upon what the crime was, might be a light sentence. Think back now to 2016 and think about the technological changes we've had in 8 years that you have not been privy to. You don't really, I mean, you might have read about them in the newspaper or whenever you get computer time, but you've never dealt with it. Apps were a thing in 2016, but not like now. I think it would be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like life just passes you by, the progress of life as you're rotting in that cell.
Right. Imagine like you go to you get out of prison, you're in there 10 years, you go to the supermarket, there's self checkout now, there's people, everything's computerized.
Everything.
You're getting a car, you're like, what is this?
Yeah, right. Right. Now you got electric cars now, which I knew they were starting, but I mean, very, very basic back then, 8 years ago. Even just look at, like, you know, when Craig was in prison for that 1 year, like, his only communication was this crude email that he was allowed to receive with a list of people of like six.
Right. That were allowed to email him.
That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you surrender your cell phone, like you surrender your life. And you're just given basically the basics.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the prisoner only has a certain amount of time, a day or a week, to go through there, to read their emails.
Right.
That was weird. I was on the email list to email mm-hmm. Craig. And I remember,
I was too, until I got kicked off.
You got kicked out?
I was booted for about 3 months. I did get a nice email from him saying, I need to remove you from the list. I don't know what important person took my spot.
You know, or family member.
But I was put back on a few months later.
But it felt weird in, you wanted to write to him because, mm-hmm. you know, like other than reading, like, oh, it's nice to have something. But I also didn't want to say,
how great things were over here. I know.
Oh, I'm doing great. I just got a new car. You know, I didn't want to deliver good news.
I know.
Because that felt weird, too.
Oh, I know. I felt the same way. I literally felt weird. Sometimes I would sit down to actually email him.
Yeah.
And be like, I don't know what to write.
Right.
Because I don't want to depress him. So sometimes I would just write, hey, just checking in, you know. And then I would be lost. What am I going to write? What's going on?
Right.
How are you doing?
All right. Two things. One, if you write good news, you're like, oh, I don't want to like sound like I'm having a grand old time out here while you're in jail. The other thing was, my whole life is just complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm going to complain. I waited in line at the Stop and Shop today, and the guy in front of me had too many items in the express lane.
I don't think he wants to hear that.
Right. At least I'm out free.
Again, there are so many things that put everything in perspective. Then we just lose it.
We lose it so quickly.
Yeah, I know. Well, I really try not to, but we do. We do. You know, yesterday I was playing golf with my two sons. We had a great time. There was about a three-hole stretch where I could not hit the ball, and I was getting annoyed. I wasn't throwing clubs or anything like that, but I was annoyed. And then I literally just, you know what? I looked up. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was 72 degrees. My two kids were talking to one another, like having a good time. And I literally just smiled. Like, who gives a crap if I can't hit a white ball?
Right. So,
and all kidding aside, I started hitting the ball better right after that.
Because you got your mind off it.
I did. I kind of relaxed, and it was perspective. Like, what am I upset? Who cares? Like,
yeah.
A lot of dads can't do this. I just spent 4 hours with them.
Yeah, it's hard, though, to bring yourself, when you're annoyed at little things.
No, I know.
To bring yourself back to look at the bigger picture, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people deal with that. And it's usually death by or to someone that you are close with or that you know well enough that makes you step back and think.
Yeah.
Like, what am I so concerned about this nonsense for?
Yeah.
But sometimes we can't control our emotions.
Yeah, and you get they say also that strangely the people who've traveled to space and were able to see mm-hmm. Earth from so far away, that perspective in a similar way to somebody who's faced death and beat sure. death and like really can appreciate this idea of as you're pulling away from the Earth, seeing how minuscule your part is
mm-hmm.
in all that.
Grain of sand.
Yeah.
On a 40-acre beach.
Yeah, like you ever look at like, imagine looking at your house, right?
Yeah.
And there's the Jerry Recco car, there's the Jerry Recco house, and there's those things with the cameras on them? Drone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drone, Jerry, and it starts on your roof and it pulls up and there's this Jerry Recco house. And little by little, you go all the way up till now you see all of New Jersey and then the United States, then the Earth. Man, you got to feel like nothing matters.
It doesn't.
But then it does. The day-to-day nonsense.
It does and it doesn't.
Matters and even bugs us.
You know, I fly so much because of Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I do like to travel. It amazes me when you're, you know, flying over the country, a nice, beautiful day, and you can see down even from, you know, 30,000 feet or where you might be, and you'll see these neighborhoods. Like flying a minute, like my last flight was coming back from Minneapolis. And I remember taking off, it was beautiful out there when we were coming back.
Yeah.
I don't know what we were flying over. I don't know if it was Illinois. I don't know where the hell we were, but it could have been Illinois. It could have been, I don't even know, Pennsylvania, Ohio, whatever it might. And you look down and it's like, you talk about you're shrinking your life into one little box. Everybody's life is this tiny little box. And everybody is somebody somewhere else.
Yeah.
Meaning there's someone just like you with similar, for lack of a better word, problems, because I don't think many of us really have problems when in the grand scheme of things, but the same issues, same family problems, same sleep issues, same friend nonsense, but this is happening in Columbus, Ohio, and this is on my little tiny half-acre plot of land that is so meaningless in the grand scheme of the universe. It's like, wow.
Yeah, I think of that when flying, when you look down on a neighborhood where mm-hmm. all the houses look the same, right? You like a newer neighborhood that
yeah.
was just built. And yeah, it's just thinking like every one of those is an individual
world.
Yeah.
Yes.
But with the people in that family, in that world. And yet when you pull out far away,
it's nothing.
They're one of millions of
correct
them.
Billions, actually.
Billions, Jerry.
Probably
billions.
Probably billions, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable, eye-opening experience, not in space, but just being on a plane or looking down. Like right now, and I know Eddie always has fun with that drop, right now someone is, and right now there are people dying, and that's never going to change. That's just statistically a fact on the planet when you get all these people. You know, right now if someone took their last breath. Okay, that's a sad reality of life. Okay. Like right now it's 7:22 on the beaches of San Diego, and somewhere a beautiful woman or an older man, they're walking their puppy along the coastline, and we're sitting here in the pit hole of New York.
Yeah.
And yet someone in Detroit just ran a red light. Someone in Chicago, I don't know. It's just crazy how much is going on simultaneously.
And someone in the Midwest is saying, I want to move to New York.
Yes.
I need to live in New York City.
And right now, someone just crossed the state lines from New Jersey into Delaware to get their ass to the Carolinas to get out of here. Yeah, I mean,
right.
All that stuff is happening, but we don't think about it because we're in our little world.
Right, you're right. Right now, someone is driving from New Jersey to the Carolinas in a U-Haul.
Yes. Yeah, probably multiple people. Day. Yeah. Multiple. How many people are on the tee boxes right now? I'm somewhere in Phoenix with beautiful golden sunshine and a day that's going to be 84 and sunny.
And yet someone is also taking their last breath.
Unfortunately, sadly,
in a
yes.
hospital somewhere.
Many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. That's another. It's kind of like The Godfather, the end of The Godfather.
What happens? Which, I didn't see that.
All right. The end of The Godfather with the christening and killing all the mob heads. It's like you've got, as we sit here right now, someone is giving birth and new life to a baby. And on this side, someone literally just died. It's not, and it happens in the same hospital on the same day, every day.
Do you ever think, did a soul transfer?
I used to think that.
At that moment, it went from the dying person.
No.
You think it's got to go recycle somewhere first?
No, I don't think that either. No, I'm sorry.
It'd be cool if when we passed away, we immediately, like there was a line, you pass away, your soul goes into the waiting room, as the next baby up is you.
I'll tell you what I think of religion. I hope it's all true. I have no proof that it is.
Right.
So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't believe it. I hope it. But I don't know.
This is good, Jerry. But right now there are two gentlemen that have a meeting to attend about a live show in Jersey City.
Oh, we're done?
On May 3rd.
Okay. You didn't want to talk about hell?
Hell? We could pick that up tomorrow.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just kidding.
We'll do the warm-up show, though, right now for you. Right now, someone...
Like, where do all the murderers go, then? People will say hell, so they don't get reincarnated then as better as better human beings? Why not? Why wouldn't that be the case?
I don't know. Or should they get reincarnated as worse human beings, prove that they can be a good human being, and then start that way?
Right. Or how about this? There's no reincarnation.
Hmm. If there is and you get a better life, that's pretty cool for us because we have a good life right now. Imagine you can get a better life in your next go-around.
I couldn't imagine better, actually.
That'd be nice.
Mine's pretty good.
I could be a little better. I'd like a little.
That's on you, though.
A little more cash would be cool. Or
you've got plenty.
To be born in San Diego, so that's where your family
you
is, and that's
there.
Where you live.
You've got the world by the balls. You just choose not to squeeze.
I see.
How are we going to go?
All right, so.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Alan Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, a couple minutes after 5 o'clock, here we go. The Eddie Scazzeri, what up? And across from me, a man who is just glowing because his Mets don't lose anymore. His name is Al Dukes. What's up?
Jerry, the Mets are winning series. We don't even have to fit it. Like, the Mets have a game today in the series against the Pirates.
Yeah.
They don't even need to play it because they've already won the series.
But a sweep is sweet.
A sweep is sweet, Jerry. And then I understand the Mets, after they sweep the Pirates today, that's a 1 o'clock game, Jerry?
It is, yeah, 1-10.
1-10. Then they'll head to the West Coast, which is always, to me, trouble. Just because
it can be.
I don't know. This has just been a thing historically in my life. When I think about the Mets, I just, you know, you're watching the Mets at night and then all of a sudden they go to the West Coast. You don't see the games. You wake up, they lose. You wake up, they lose. And like all of a sudden, trouble.
Or they wake up and win.
Yeah, they could. But I'm just saying historically, I feel like just like I think every time there's a doubleheader, it's a split.
Which is not correct.
I feel like every time the Mets go on a West Coast trip, they come back losers.
So here's what I would tell you. The good thing is they're in L.A. And two of the three games are 4 o'clock.
Our time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we will see those.
Yes. And a lot of people, I do think it helps that Friday night's game is a Friday night game. So while not as many people will watch, more than most will if it was a Tuesday or Wednesday. Like when they go to San Francisco Monday and Tuesday and play at 9:45.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's a tough one. But then you get game three at 3:45 in the afternoon. So actually, out of the six games in California, you've got three of them that are very watchable. A fourth is not terrible on a Friday night, but two of them are wasteland.
Well, that's a great point then, Jerry. I'm with you on that. So that's good news. The bad news is J.D. Martinez. I guess there was some thought he might join the Mets on the West Coast trip.
Well, there was about a week or so ago. But then when we found out what had happened, I don't think so. I think you're going to see him right after it.
Well, this is what they tell you now. They said J.D. Martinez unlikely to join Mets on West Coast trip with debut expected, quote, shortly thereafter.
All right.
At this point, we don't need you.
No, you do.
The Mets are rolling. They're winning series. No. You sound like a loser, frankly.
Listen, I love what the Mets are doing. Even last night, a little bit of smoke and mirrors, to be quite honest.
All right.
I mean, if that kid doesn't come out of the game after 59 pitches, they get one hit.
Yeah, but this is baseball now. No, you could be throwing a no-hitter and get taken out of games. This is how stupid baseball is.
You're not wrong. What I'm saying is they didn't hit for the first five or six innings, and the way they scored,
it's all right. But that's what's terrible about baseball now, one of the many things. Like, you could be getting no hit into the eighth inning. You get no worries because they're going to change the pitcher on you.
They very well might.
Oh, he's thrown. This guy's throwing 59 pitches, so let's get him out of the game.
Do you know how many strikes this kid threw?
Out of 59 pitches?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he threw 39 strikes.
I believe it was 51.
Oh, that's a lot
of strikes.
He
only threw 8 balls.
That's a lot of strikes, Jerry.
He was, at one point, Gary or whoever, I don't know, Keith or Ron, whoever it was, one was like, this kid just pumps the strike zone, and he moves the ball around the zone. It's not like right down the middle, clearly, because then they pummel the ball. He was so good.
So why did they take him?
I got to the game late. By the time I got home and actually put it on, I don't know if he had a pitch count. I'm not 100% sure. All I know is the two innings that I got to see before I passed out watching it, he was dominant. And then you go, I wake up, I see they won. I go and I start watching the later innings, and I'm like, did you see you saw the highlights, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the balk? I still don't understand what the hell they called. Bizarre.
Balk. I never understand a balk, Jerry. I feel like everything's a balk. Or, like, I could swear Nestor Cortez is balking when he does his stupid leg kick. Not but that they let you, they let go.
Because that's a windup. You can't balk in a windup.
I'm balking. Yes, indeed. I'm balking.
I don't know. It just, they bring the guy in. He doesn't even throw a pitch. He gets on the mound. It looks like he's completely set. And then they call a balk. Now, I got to go back and watch the whole sequence. I only saw the highlights because, again, I was doing 880 all morning. But it's just odd to me. They score a run on that, and then McNeil, give him credit. He just flings the bat, and you need blue pits like that through the course of a season. All good. Just waiting for them to kind of, like, BT's been on this whole thing about how, you know, you haven't seen the likes of Lindor and Nimmo, and Alonso's got 5 or 6 home runs, but he hasn't really been like a terror yet. Like, you want to see the core guys carry this team, and instead it's been the likes of Joey Wendell coming up with a big hit after Beatty goes out with injury.
Mr. Wendell.
That's all. You just want to see a little bit more from...
But I think what's good, and this happens when teams are good, is that they find ways, Jerry, to win games.
Absolutely.
And when you're being losers, you find ways to lose games that you are clearly winning.
You are 100% correct.
So in that, I like it.
That is very true.
Mr. Wendell.
All I'm going to tell you is don't think you're going to go to L.A. and beat the Dodgers with a balk and a poke job. You got to hit the ball.
A balk and a poke job?
Yes.
That's the name of my new podcast. On the Dan Patrick Podcast Network.
There you go.
I saw Dan Patrick has a podcast network. What are we doing in the world?
We're putting out a lot of podcasts.
Can we do a podcast network? Because it doesn't mean anything.
Yes, we could. I've told you
that. The Al and Jerry Podcast Network?
Absolutely, we could.
And we'll just be like, just add podcast. What is a Dan Patrick Podcast Network? That does not mean anything to anyone.
It means he's making money from people that probably pay him to be on his network.
No, but it's the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. So he's now hiring podcasts.
Is he hiring or accepting?
I saw that John Boy Media.
That's different.
Took two of their podcasts and they're joining the Dan Patrick Podcast Network.
But why? Just put it where it's got to be.
I don't know. I don't know.
Me neither.
I don't know what's going on.
Why don't you become a podcast consultant?
It's
and
all,
go around firing everybody.
It's all a shell game. Everything we're doing in most of media is a shell game. We're just podcasts.
You know, it's not a shell game. I saw the Fanatics thing with the Caitlin Clark jersey.
I'm glad
that's
you brought that
real.
Up. That is not real.
That's not news. Real?
I'm so glad
Time
you brought
out a
that
second.
Out.
I pulled it out. I read the headline.
You could have read the whole article.
And I didn't read the rest of it.
Yeah.
So what's not real about them saying how many jerseys they sold?
Okay, so here's the story that went all over yesterday. The story was... let me pull that up, Jerry, because I want to get the proper thing.
I didn't mean to go out of sequence. I'm sorry.
This was going to be a full segment for me.
No, well, we got 8 minutes.
Fanatic CEO Michael Rubin said that Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever jersey sold more on draft night than any player in any sport in the company's history. Okay. There are zero numbers attached to this. This is the CEO of Fanatics telling you this. A company that's been maligned for their terrible MLB uniforms.
Right.
I think they are taking advantage of the Caitlin. Everybody loves Caitlin Clark. And they just made this up. It'd be like no different than me having the company put out a press release that says, Al and Jerry talked about Caitlin Clark's tremendous career on their post-game podcast. It was the highest rated podcast in their history. Says who? Me? You know what I mean?
Well, I would think if people would ask, you've got to show receipts. Like, that's a little different than
okay.
I would think. I mean, you would show how much money and how many jerseys were actually sent out.
I think this is complete fake news sad. No numbers are attached to it. All the articles and tweets are just quoting Fanatics. And I think they're just trying to get some nice positive publicity using Caitlin... Clark.
Oh, Fanatics would, because she doesn't need it. I mean, she's got more than enough positive publicity.
Right. But right now, if you do anything with Caitlin Clark, you're going to make news.
That is true.
I think this is fake news sad.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't read the article, so you pretty much gave me the summary, but...
It doesn't make any sense. Number one, for the other things you got to look at is, okay, so how long has Fanatics been selling everybody's jerseys? We'd
right.
have to look when
true.
They got... Okay, so we got to eliminate every draft prior to that. You're telling me that Caitlin Clark sold more... Now, these are girl jerseys. So we're eliminating all men. Right?
I know
Caitlin
people
Clark.
Like Ray Martell that, yes, have...
Okay,
not a lot, but there are men that would buy them, yes.
Okay, but you're saying, statistically speaking, it is more likely for a woman to purchase a men's jersey.
I would certainly think
okay,
that, yes.
Okay, so now we're... Yes. We're eliminating the majority of half the people, which is men. We're eliminating
you would think
most
so, yes.
of them.
Yep.
So you're telling me that women who don't really... Men are the losers who wear football, baseball jerseys all around. Women are not wearing jerseys to hang out in. They're just not.
No, not to hang out in, no.
Right.
But if you went to an Iowa basketball game, you would
Correct.
See a lot of those.
No
you,
doubt.
That
no
is
doubt
for
about
sure.
It.
And a lot of girls, young girls, I idolize this young woman.
No doubt about
it. So I would think that that was a big jersey sold for the parents, for the kids.
Okay. You want to tell me this is the biggest selling
I have no idea.
WNBA jersey ever?
I don't know.
Hell yeah. I'm on
board. So here would be the question I would have. Did Fanatics have the contract when LeBron was taken by the Cavaliers?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
The only other detail that has emerged from this is that it beat out Trevor Lawrence from the Jaguars.
I have one for you because I think Fanatics was around. What about Zion Williamson to the Pelicans?
I don't know. They don't want to give you that information. This is like podcast reporting. No one wants to give you the real numbers.
So yeah, I'd like
this
to see,
guy's not going
to
give you.
I'd love to see a breakdown.
Yeah, let's see it.
Of the last, like, Zion was drafted when? 5 years ago, would you say? Probably four somewhere. So they had to have had the contract.
And I'm also not buying the fact that the most sold NFL jersey on draft night was Trevor Lawrence. Sorry, no one's interested in Jaguars jersey.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy that either. Yeah. I would not buy that either.
This reeks of a PR trying to hop on the back of Caitlin Clark. My two cents, Jerry. And I'm an investigative reporter. I like to look at things. Who benefits from the story? Are there any actual statistics from an outside source? There are not. Fake news.
I'm trying to find out when they became the official jersey makers of all these leagues. And the only thing that comes up. So, all right. So I'm going to give, here's some of your answers. Fanatics replacing Adidas as the NHL official uniform in 2023.
Okay, so it's
so
only
that means you take away all of
yeah.
Sidney
I know
Crosby.
This is a new thing. This right. is a new thing, right?
But I'd love to know
when they took over the NBA.
NBA
and NFL.
Yeah. Well, I say NBA. You're right with the NFL for sure, but I'd like to know with the NBA only because of Zion Williamson. He was such a megastar coming out of college. And I know he went to the Pelicans. That fan base isn't the Knicks or the Lakers, but he was still Zion Williamson. I would love to know what the numbers were for him.
Let me give you a couple other actual statistics, Jerry, that I could cite sources. Another story that came out yesterday was everyone's excitement that the WNBA draft had 2.45 million viewers. A lot of viewers. Previous record was 601,000 viewers. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me that 2.45 million people watched. That's a lot. And that amount of people garnered the most sales for a jersey ever. Okay?
That's what they're telling you.
That's what they're telling you. So 2.45 million people watch. The NFL draft was viewed by 54 million people. So statistically, you're telling me.
Yeah, right.
Stop.
None of it makes sense.
We all love Caitlin Clark, but we can't all jump on her back to try to get positive publicity for ourselves.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm going to ask Odyssey to put out a press release. Alan Jerry on the warm-up show on April 17th discussed Caitlin Clark. It was the most listened to warm-up show in the history of WFAN. Please put that out there. Richard Deitch will retweet it. Andrew Marchand will retweet it. Neil Bass will retweet it.
It looks like Fanatics gained the NBA in 17.
Okay.
So that's Zion. I mean, that's right in that window. If he was 20 or 21, whenever the hell it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd love to see some real numbers.
Me too. We're not going to get them.
No,
we're not. No one wants to show you anything.
We're not going to get them. I guess not. I do believe the viewership, actually.
Oh, I believe that too.
That I do believe.
Because that's from an independent company, Nielsen.
Yeah. But to say that they had four times the amount, that's a big gain. I do buy that for sure.
I do, too.
Because she is that big of a star, which is just it's amazing to me. But, hey, good for her,
Fake news, sad, or open up your books.
When we come back, maybe not the very next segment, but at some point this morning, we're going to get to the Yankees because they lost again.
Yeah.
And an interesting play in this game that you may or may not have seen. If not, we'll walk you through it.
Okay. Maybe I'll take a look at that during the break.
Well, yes, I will give you the play. You can look at it during the break to make sure. And then we got Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey, nice to have you with us. It's Wednesday. I always love when I see Billy Jacalone in the newsroom. That means we've reached midweek.
Oh, he's a Wednesday kind of guy?
He's a Wednesday. Yeah, he's off Monday and Tuesday. So nice to see him. Nice to have you. 25 after 5. I want to give you props, not for Caitlin Clark or Fanatics or any of that, but while you're usually wrong about the whole doubleheader thing in baseball, and sometimes wrong about sending runners, I do agree with you that in a lot of cases, send the guy. Make them make a play.
In baseball, right?
In baseball,
yes. Send the guy to the plate.
Send him. When you got a guy that the guy's on second and you get a clean base hit, unless the outfield is drawn in, unless the thing's hit, 150 miles off the bat and the guy barely gets to third, send the runner. Make them make a play.
Right. For as all these guys are professionals and you would think that a guy in right field or left field or center field should be able to, as a professional, throw that ball on a line right to the catcher. A lot of times it doesn't happen.
Because it's got to be a very precise throw, and it is hard to do. Well, last night, Luis Rojas sent Giancarlo Stanton in the first inning or second inning, whatever it was.
He was on second base?
He was. And he was safe. He was safe on the throw home from left field. But my God, he was jogging again, Al.
I saw, you told me about this play, and I said, let me go look at this. He was casually going around the bases.
Like it's a Sunday stroll.
And he would have been out by.
Yeah. If the catcher catches the ball cleanly, he's out by 5 or 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. He's out.
Yeah, which is weird because it was a nice throw by the left fielder to the plate, and the catcher just dropped the ball.
I couldn't tell, and I didn't see a replay. If it was a short hop, if he just dropped, I don't know what the hell happened. All I know is he should have been out at the plate, and if he was, that would have been enough. Remember last year at Yankee Stadium when he was out by 10 feet, when he was just casually jogging around third?
It was a bad look.
I thought we were beyond all this when he lost all, I don't want to say all his muscle, but he trimmed down and got more flexible.
Yeah.
I didn't think that that would be an issue. And I saw that last night. Like, what is he doing?
Yeah, that looked very strange.
My goodness. And then Aaron Judge, 0 for 4 again. I mean, the Yankees are fine. They're going to win a lot of games, but I don't know. Ugh.
Well, here's what I've seen, Jerry. The Yankees are winless since John Sterling's retired. So
get him back. Get him here.
We need to get him here. A ton of sense situation.
They are. That is true. That is true.
They're not as bad, though, Jerry. I saw the White Sox.
Yeah, they're brutal. What, they won 2-3 games?
They're 2-14.
Yeah.
And they've been shut out 6 times.
Yeah, they're horrible.
They said, this has not happened, Jerry, to a Major League Baseball team since 1907, where through the first 16 games, they were shut out 6 times.
I will have at some point this morning, Ozzie Guillen. You remember Ozzie Guillen. Managed them to a World Series.
Yeah, I love Ozzie Guillen.
I believe he is on their pre- and post-game coverage. Boy, Marco, boy, he put a lot of stuff in today. Thank you, Marco. But some of it is Ozzie Guillen, who is basically just lighting them on fire for just, they have no offense. Like, they're terrible.
Were they supposed to be terrible?
They weren't supposed to be good.
Like you weren't expecting.
I don't know if they were supposed to be 2-14
with six shutouts.
But no one picked them to do anything.
Okay.
I think where they are in the standings is probably where people thought they'd be, but not 2-14, and
so
not
saying,
this pathetic.
They are who we thought they were, Jerry.
For the most part. But again, every major league team should at least be able to put a couple of runs on the board.
I would think so. At least a couple times.
They're apparently not able to do that.
Out of 16 games, six of those, they were able to put up zero runs.
That's amazing.
I mean, you've got to accidentally hit a home run.
You would think you'd run into one once in a while.
I mean, seeing all those John Sterling clips from yesterday, we watched Rick Camp hit a home run as a pitcher who looked like he didn't even know how to hold a bat when he went up there.
Yeah.
And he was able to hit a home run.
So they were rained out last night against the Royals. I'm going to give you...
The Sox, White Sox?
Yes. So they've lost 5 games in a row. I'm going to ask you for a couple of names. See if you have heard of any of these guys. I'm not even sure I have, to be quite honestly. Robbie Grossman.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay. Actually, I thought that would be the one you might know. Okay. He was from, played for the Rangers, I think the Twins. This guy, you know, Andrew Benintendi.
I have heard of that guy.
He was on the Yankees last year. Okay.
That would be why, yep.
Their third guy is Andrew Vaughn. I don't know him. He's batting 172, and I should have mentioned that Benintendi's batting 159, and Grossman, wow. So their first three batters, who should be three of your top hitters.
They got to get on base.
Grossman's batting 194, Benintendi 159, and Vaughn 172. Wow. Then you've got Gavin Sheets. You've heard of him, yes?
Nope.
Okay. Okay.
He's their cleanup hitter.
He's their cleanup hitter batting 270. This guy's like Babe Ruth batting 270. And then you've got, is this Luis Sosa? No, I don't know who this is. Lenine Sosa? Don't know who that is. He bats fifth. He's batting 179. Then there's someone by the name of Dominic Fletcher. He's their sixth hitter. Dominic Fletcher is hitting 250. Not terrible. Then you got a guy, I can't even pronounce his name, batting 217. And then how about this guy? You've heard of Martin Maldonado.
I have heard of that
guy. He's from Houston. He's batting 056. .056. Those are their top guys in the lineup. And then you've got their third baseman, Nicky Lopez, batting 130.
If I were to ask you off the top of your head, classic White Sox players, like when you think of the White Sox as a franchise.
Harold Baines.
What about Chet Lemon?
Who?
Chet Lemon.
Yeah, yeah.
Kirk Gibson. No, he was Tigers.
Frank Thomas. Yeah. I would give you Frank Thomas and Harold Baines. They come to mind immediately.
Yeah. Greg Luzinski played for the White Sox.
Sure.
But, boy, they're a franchise that just...
They did win a World Series with Ozzie Guillen, but you're right, not a whole lot. I mean, it really is a Cubs town, always has been. I mean, I don't think that's any secret. And it's not like the Cubs have been world beaters by winning World Series. But outside looking in, it seems like the White Sox are what the Mets are to the Yankees, but worse.
They're like the Nets are to the Knicks.
That's probably a better example.
Nailed it.
Yeah. To me, the Mets have and can take over the town. I don't know if the White Sox can do that.
Right.
I don't know.
Like even in those... The White Sox got to be like when the Devils were winning Stanley Cups, people still were
Ranger fans. Yeah, yeah.
That's what's happening to those guys.
That is true.
Speaking of old baseball, Jerry, Whitey Herzog passed away.
Yeah, and Carl Erskine. Tough day yesterday.
Who's Carl Erskine?
Brooklyn Dodgers from the 50s. He was a great player, great pitcher.
How old was he?
He was 97, I believe.
Nice.
96 or 97. And Whitey Herzog was, I thought Whitey Herzog was 92 when he was managing the Cardinals.
Correct. Right. If you would have said in 1983 when the Cardinals came to Shea, how old was Whitey Herzog? I'd have been like 93.
I mean, my God. Yeah.
He passed away at 92 yesterday.
Yeah.
That to me, like, that is when I think of a baseball manager of the 80s, Whitey Herzog.
Sure.
Sparky Anderson,
mm-hmm.
Davey Johnson.
What about the old Braves manager? I'm blanking on his name.
What was his name?
Eddie.
Bobby Cox.
Thank you. Bobby Cox.
Bobby
That's
Cox.
A classic looking manager. Yeah.
Classic.
Yep.
Man, I miss a good classic
Lou
manager.
Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella, great one.
Lou Piniella was one as well.
Billy Martin.
Of course. Now you're getting into the fiery guys.
Yeah, fiery guys.
But yeah.
I like the fiery guys.
If I asked you who for the Mets... And you don't have to go back to the 60s. I'm not doing that. In our time, the most classic manager that they've had? Would you say Buck, even though it was only 2 years? Just
you mean
in terms
say not
of,
not Davey Johnson? If I
I'm asking you, would you say Davey Johnson?
Then I'd go Bobby Valentine.
Okay, fair enough.
Just because he put that disguise on, and I didn't know it was him in the dugout.
But
the,
all right, that but that's cool. Not classic manager. Like to me, Buck with the stupid warm up top. The way he just, you know, had the short little steps walking out to the mound, like you knew he was also the guy in charge. Davey Johnson's a good one because they won. The only issue with that is I don't know how much control he had over that team.
That's fair, Jerry.
Like you can make the case, and I think most Met fans would agree, they underachieved. They did win one, which was phenomenal, and the Met fans love it as much as you can love anything. They should have won more.
Yeah, well, listen, drugs will get in the way of that.
For sure, and it did. But I also don't know. You had guys punching guys in the face. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how much control he had over the team. I felt like when Buck was here, he had control on the team, even though they weren't great last year. And Bobby Valentine, I agree. Even the glass is a little weird, but I felt like he had control of the club as well. So maybe, yeah, I might go Bobby V over Davey Johnson, actually. Mm. I might.
Did a weird situation yesterday at Citi Field. I guess these, I know nothing about boxing.
I'm not interested in boxing.
This is not going to shock anyone. I don't think anybody really knows a lot about boxing.
And if you love boxing, good for you.
Hey, good for you.
That's great.
Two boxers, Davin Haney and Ryan Garcia. I guess they're going around doing
promotional stuff.
Promotional stuff. They were at the Empire State Building where they almost came to blows. They were pushing and shoving each other. Get the boxing match going right there at the Empire State Building. So they were set to throw out the first pitch in the Met game.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess once the Mets got word that these guys, as part of their publicity, when they're showing up at things, they start swinging at each other. The Mets were like, you know what? We're not going to do this. So they sent them away. They didn't let them throw out the first pitch. I guess he's one or two of the guys. Maybe Oscar De La Hoya is the promoter.
He is, and they offered him to throw out the first pitch.
Yeah, to which he said no.
Correct.
So that was a little, like, I guess, controversy, Jerry, surrounding these boxers.
I have.
And the New York Mets. Mets did the right thing. No one's really that interested in boxing.
No.
So to bring two guys in here and now going to throw fists at each other.
That you don't
stupid.
Know what they're going to do. Plus, they had a camera crew, I believe, with them.
Right.
To me, I don't fault the Mets. I don't fault these guys for being upset. Quite frankly, don't care.
Don't care. You know who they should have got? Caitlin Clark.
Could you imagine?
Caitlin Clark out there, Jerry?
Here's a serious question. If the Yankees, I think, if they're not sold out, I think they've sold a lot of their tickets already for the season. The Mets clearly have not sold out. So let's use the Mets as the example. If the Mets were playing the Pirates, let's say next week, and they were home even though they'd be on the road. Let's say the Mets were playing the Pirates next week, Tuesday night, 7:10 game, Caitlin Clark throwing out the first pitch. How many more tickets do you think they sell? Or do they? It's really the first pitch. She's not playing. She's not going out there and putting on a shooting display.
She was batting third, Jerry. How many more tickets would they sell?
She's not batting third question. Either.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
She would be honored by throwing out the first pitch. She would be in a suite. I'm sure they'd show her on a board. Do you think they sell more tickets?
They do sell more tickets.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know that they sell the building out. I'm not going to go crazy. But I agree. I think that more people will go.
Man, we got to get her everywhere, Jerry. We got to get her at Boomer and Geo Live.
Strike while the fire's hot, Al.
Yeah. Boomer and Geo Live in Jersey City, May 3rd. Let's get Caitlin Clark. Free throw shooting contest. All right. Me versus her.
Here's another serious question.
From downtown.
Indiana Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Are they talking more Pacers or more Fever? Not for the whole month, but I mean this week.
Pacers.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too, because they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and we don't know what to say about the WNBA.
No, I don't either. This was more a Caitlin Clark thing.
Or Caitlin Clark.
That's why I said the Fever, because of her going there.
I saw people were also very upset about the paycheck that Caitlin Clark's going to be getting.
Caitlin Clark is making so much money off the court, she's fine. That said, when, in fact, she plays in the WNBA, if they start to generate ratings like her Iowa games did, guess what's going to happen? They'll get more TV money and the contracts will go up. Prior to this, this is not a knock. People get so upset when you say something negative about a certain sport, in this case, the WNBA. They don't get ratings. Now, when they do, they'll make more money. Guess what else doesn't get ratings? College baseball games. You know, college baseball players don't get nil money like college basketball and college football players. Why are they not upset? Like, if you don't watch, there's no money to pull from. Herg and Angel Reese and this Cameron Brink, maybe next year the WNBA will set ratings records and they'll get a bigger contract. And guess what will happen to the salaries? They'll skyrocket. I mean, you can only go on what you've had in the past.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I always said I understand the economics of the NFL. They get 20 million people watching a random game.
A bad game.
They sell a huge, it costs CBS and NBC a huge amount of money to air those games, and those games then make money.
Sure.
That I get. The baseball ones I don't get. I don't understand the baseball contracts, but other than a really rich dude owns the team and can pay whatever he wants. But this one, I do understand the economics of the WNBA.
And the same way you understand the economics of the NHL. Are they screaming that they don't make the same money the NBA guys do or football players do?
Yeah, I guess I don't understand the NBA one either, but I don't understand.
It's all TV.
Yeah, but I don't get why TV is paying so much.
And continues to pay more.
Yeah, like they're talking about the next NBA deal for like ESPN.
In the billions.
But yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No, not when their ratings are. Now, they might do well on social media, and they do, but that's not watching the TV.
Correct.
Their TV numbers are not great.
Yeah.
I mean, are they bad? No, they're not like watching the White Sox and Tigers where 100,000 people might watch them, but those ratings stink. And then you see what happens when they go against the NFL on a Christmas day.
They get smacked down.
Tankathon. Yeah, exactly. All right, quick break, 5:40. Not a whole lot of time left. And then we got Boomer and Gio. A lot of time with them here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, real quick, just because I don't want people screaming at us that we're giving biased opinions on the numbers and everything when people are upset with these contracts. And again, I think when these new players in the WNBA begin playing, we will find out if the numbers go up, then the TV contract money will go up, and therefore the salaries will go up. But just to put into some context, checking the finals numbers, okay, would you not agree that Rangers-Diamondbacks was a pretty brutal World Series?
Yes, that would be a terrible World Series.
Their ratings were down significantly. They drew an average of 9.1 million viewers per World Series game for a bad World Series.
That's higher than I would have guessed.
Okay. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Finals. It doesn't get worse than that, honestly, in terms of markets. Drew an average of 2.7 million fans. Not great.
Actually, that is not good.
Pretty awful, to be quite honest. The NBA Finals did an average of 11.6 million. The College Baseball World Series did an average of 1.6 million viewers per game. The WNBA Finals did an average of 700,000. Now, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. So when they make their impact, I do expect these numbers to go up. Therefore, the TV money will go up, and so will their contracts. So screaming about it to me it's silly when you put into context who's watching and who's not. And oh, by the way, the Super Bowl did 126 million viewers.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see, because I would think the WNBA season does start soon,
right? It does, yeah.
Which is great, because there's no long delay between Caitlin Clark, the college basketball player, and the WNBA.
Which is good for them, 100%, I agree.
Right, it works out really good. We got to see, and the first month I believe will be really good. I don't know if it has sustainability for folks.
I don't know that it does or it doesn't, but I do know this. She had sustainability at Iowa for 4 years to the point where it grew and grew and grew to where, as you've heard, Gus Johnson, we talked about this, was opting to do Iowa women's basketball games over other college basketball games he could have chosen at Fox. And their numbers were incredible, especially down the stretch on Saturday nights. So It might. I don't know. Time will tell. But you're right. You'll get a big pop early. We'll see what they can sustain going forward.
If I was in the WNBA, Jerry, and I'm not eligible to play in the WNBA.
Right.
But if I were, I would try to become a villain to Caitlin Clark.
Well, isn't that Angel Reese?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I would think. But, I mean, if I were a nobody, I would make a name for myself by, like, I would treat Caitlin Clark the Pistons treated Michael Jordan.
Just go after her.
Just go after her, because you'll be talked about. You'll be highlighted. They'll be like, look at this woman attacking Caitlin Clark.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. You talk about it starting soon. If I'm reading this right, May 14th, so literally a month from now, it's a Tuesday night on ESPN2. They're at Connecticut to take on the Sun.
That is a dumb
The Fever.
Move. ESPN2? Come on. Step your game up.
Well, you got, here are her first four games that are on TV that anybody can watch. ESPN2, game one. Thursday night, they play the New York Liberty on Amazon Prime Video.
Oh,
this
would
be
God.
Like finding a baseball game now.
Yeah.
Then they play the Liberty again on Saturday the 18th on ABC.
Oh, okay.
And that, but see, this is what's stupid. It's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. People aren't home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And well, whatever. And then Monday night on regular ESPN, they take on the Sun again.
It doesn't make sense to me that still in this, in how long people have had cable television, that it still makes a difference. If you put a game on ABC or ESPN, it's a major difference.
Well, because
that's weird.
While I think we take for granted that everybody has cable, everybody doesn't have cable still.
You just tell me there's that many people with an antenna up on the roof?
I think
pulling in ABC?
I think there's more people than you think that watch TV with that thing in the window that I told you to get.
Yeah, so
you
it doesn't work for me.
I know it doesn't because you're in a weird space.
I'm too far away from the towers.
But if you're in this area, it works. And I think there's more people than you think that will bypass that $100 or $200 a month cable bill for 50 free channels. And they'll watch what they can watch.
Don't you think we should be getting those free channels? ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, without having to have an antenna? Why can't there be a free stream service for those? We're getting all their commercials.
I don't know that there's not. There's not?
Yeah, I've looked into this extensively.
What about this Philo that Mark Cuban is pushing?
That has no locals.
It's got no locals either. I don't know. I get, part of it, too, is the way the media is brought into the TV. Like, we don't have TVs. Like, you have to get the antenna as opposed to the TVs we used to buy that had the antennas attached to them, didn't they?
You had some rabbit ears.
Yeah, but I remember having a TV where the antenna just popped right up from the back.
Oh, yeah.
The rabbit ears was when I was much younger.
Yeah, you're right.
Then we had the TVs where they came with the antenna already on the TV. You turned it on, and it worked.
Remember when the first flip phones we got had the antenna could pop up?
Yes, I do. I had a Motorola one.
Yeah. I'd be like, I can't hear you. Let me extend this 3 inches. I'm sure you'll be crystal clear now to hear you.
Yes, boop. I remember. I know. That's interesting, though. There should be a free streaming service for local channels
right.
If that's where we're at right now. I completely
but
agree.
But here's what the channels themselves get money from cable. So that cable there is called retransmission fees. So cable or Fubo or DirecTV Stream.
Yet if I have a TV with the antenna, I don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It is very odd.
The whole thing's stupid.
It stinks, Jerry.
It does stink. I agree. Head down.
Exactly.
Look at that. Quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up, get you to Boomer and Geo. It is in Sports Minute with Amy and Zion Williamson.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
We've got about 20 seconds or so left. What'd you leave for the end, Al?
I saw a new game show that's coming to Amazon Prime hosted by Travis Kelce, Jerry.
Jeopardy.
It's called Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? But
they had Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
Right, this is a takeoff on that. But you're not competing against the celebrity. You're using the celebrities to help you get answers to questions.
That's stupid.
So that's stupid, right?
Don't care for that.
And on Amazon.
WFAN. WFAN FM. WFAN FM HD1, New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.